we might be a little carnal minded. And that is a natural thing. Lord have mercy, the Spirit is supernatural. You can't be born again just by yourself. You can't do it. You see, God wants to show us the ailments and the weaknesses of the old man. But he said, you know what? My word is spirit in his life. He said, and when I come unto you, he said, I'm going to give you that real life that is quite abundant. Do you want peace of mind? Do you want to live in a world with strength? Do you want to live in a world who does any and everything that they want to? And the world is practically chaotic right now. I say chaos, anarchical, if that's a word. No rules, no regulation, no boundaries. And they're mad at God because he wants us to live a life that's holy and righteousness before him. Lord have mercy. We got to be led by the Spirit. Listen at the sixth verse. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that our that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Okay, this is the point. And I tell my class, I say, please don't fade out on me because I still got a little bit more. So if you're fading out, try not to fade out. Listen. He says that we should henceforth not serve sin. This is a daily thing that Satan will come to us and try to get us to yield our members unto unrighteousness. But when we have spent time in God's word, when we are praying before God, saying, God, please keep me. Lord, please help me. You're praying for yourself. You're praying for your family. There is something about the Spirit of God. When in the moment of temptation or in the moment of frustration, and in the moment sometimes we just feel like, what's the point? Have you ever felt like, what's the point? Yeah. Lord have mercy. The Holy Spirit will tell you that this life is not to be compared to the things that we're going to receive. He will remind you that Jesus said, yea, in all that will live godly, he shall suffer persecution. Lord have mercy. But when Jesus comes back, we'll live and reign with him. So that's the problem in verse 6. I'm going to read it again. Know this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. In other words, this body is supposed to be destroyed so that we can now yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit, that henceforth we should not serve sin. In other words, we won't be ruled and governed by sin in our life. I'm going to skip now to the 8th chapter because I want to talk just a little bit from the 8th chapter. Paul, in the 7th chapter, he talked about this struggle that he had. And many of us have struggles in our life. Am I going to do right or am I going to do wrong? So Paul said, basically, he said, when I want to do what's right, I find myself doing what's wrong. And he was talking about that fleshly man. And many of us sometimes, when we know what's right, but we'll find ourselves doing what's wrong. What is that? It's because we have got to, we still flesh, but we have to yield over. In the 8th chapter, I just want to look at some of these verses. Paul says this to everything that he said before. There is no condemnation for them that are in Christ Jesus. He said that when Christ died, we were buried with him as if in a baptism. If we have risen with Christ, then our life is to be changed. He does not begin to force us to live a holy life for him. God gave us a mind to continue to recognize that he is king and that he is Lord. There is no condemnation for those of us whose lives are hidden in Christ. Satan will want to come to you and tell you that it is impossible. But when he tells you that it's impossible, what your mind needs to tell you is to obey the Holy Spirit of God. If it says don't do this, then you want to ask God, give me the strength not to do it. You will find that burdens will be lifted. I'm telling you what I know. If you find it when you start obeying God, he will have burdens for you and he will free you that you be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. We don't even understand sin. It will yoke you up and drag you where it wants to take you.
The yoke on you.
The Bible says the fiend lies at the door. But when you obey Christ, he will free you up and that you don't have to obey that. Your body will tell you, yes, you do. Your heart will tell you, yes, you do. But the Spirit of God says, you don't have to do that.
That's right.
I died on the cross for you. I'm coming back. I'm coming back for you. I'm coming back for my church. Are you a part of my bride? who's been washed in the blood, who have on the white robe and apparel that is typical of what we understand the bride to wear? Will you be a part of that? Lord have mercy. The King James Version reads on. There is no condemnation for him who in Christ who walk not after the flesh. Now there's some documentation that there's a scribal error, because if you look in the fourth verse, you see the very same ending. But I'm going to read it anyway because it's in there. For those of us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. In other words, it's not your intention nor your practice to live after the flesh. Mm. What is our intention and what is our practice? They meet up somewhere. They meet up. God is looking at that. Now, I'm not going to tell you you're going to cross every cross every T and dot every I, but God is looking at, he wants a life that is consistent before him. Now, I'm just going to read a question here. When he was speaking in the first half, I wrote down some things. He said, what is it about us that will help us to consistently live wicked lives instead of righteous lives? Mm-hmm. Have you ever felt like that? Why do I keep doing this? I know better than this. Why do I keep doing this? He asked another question. Have we gotten in the place in 2007 where the things that are distasteful to God are distasteful to us? Mm. Let me tell you a secret. As you continue to yield more and more to the Holy Spirit, you will want to please God, and the things that he says not to do, you won't want to do them. True. You will find such a joy in doing the things that God has called you and I to do. Mm. Look at Manasseh, how he was blessed. When he was knocked down, he was put down because he went against the things that he knew to be against God's word. You and I sometimes will go against the things that we know are against God's word. If we do that and we have the knowledge of it, it is sin. Even if we don't have the knowledge of it, it is sin. But sometimes God will let you come to the fact where you can learn. He will maybe penalize you for it. He gives you grace because he wants us all to be saved. Look at 2 Peter in the 3rd chapter. God is long-suffering and he wants us all to come to him so that we can have eternal life. So when you and I know what God's parameters are and we walk outside it, that is sin. Amen. This is where we have to say, God, give me strength to obey your word. It's about obedience, y'all. The world can't stand that word. It's about obedience to God's Holy Spirit. It's such a liberator. I think it's in 2 Corinthians. He said, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. He makes a distinction between the law, because, see, the law was given. See, Paul talks about the law, and he said that law, it was good, but it was unable to empower man. It could remind man, there is a sin. And they would sometimes be killed or stoned, or they would have to give a certain kind of sacrifice. And it could be, let's say, sort of kind of absorbed. But Jesus, God says in Hebrews, he said, that stuff never really satisfied God. It was just a shadow. My son is coming. All that you might be doing right now, just give it to God. Just give it to God and repent in trueness of heart. And he can bless you. He can free you from those chains of darkness. Trust him. Try God and see won't he keep his word. Yes. Lord have mercy. Paul says in the second verse, listen, I'm going to try to rephrase this. I'm going to read it like it says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. In other words, now that you've died to the flesh, the Holy Spirit has a law within itself that will guide you to the precepts of God. Here in this Western culture, we think law and we have a negative connotation. Law, parameters. Oh my, don't give me law parameters. I'm grown up doing what I want to do, God.
Whoa.
We think about law in a sense, it's just like, it's just distasteful. Yeah. But in that law is life. Listen, and I'm reading this one. For the law of the Spirit that will bring you and I to Christ, the Spirit that rebirths us, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free. You don't have to keep sinning. Yeah. You don't have to keep sinning. We will be perfect before God. We will never be perfect before God. It will always thank the Lord, be resting upon Jesus, but he calls for a change in our lives. So don't, please don't leave here and say, he said I got to be perfect. There is a perfection, but we understand sometimes perfect in a different way than what is intended. We are to grow in Christ. He will, and when we yield, he'll take these things off of us. That's a weight I didn't need. Thank you, Lord. That's another weight I didn't need. Thank you, Lord. When Paul was writing to Timothy, he was like, there ought to be somebody in the church of Corinthians who's got some wisdom, who can judge between some of these itty-bitty things. Well, they weren't itty-bitty because they let them run them. Yep. But there ought to be somebody within your midst that can judge. There ought to be somebody in your midst who is mature. There ought to be many of us in here who are mature. Let's just think about how many we've been looking at the Bible. Let's just think about how many we've been hearing scriptures of the Bible. Sometimes we don't get it right, but we have opportunity to study God's word for ourselves, to learn of God's word, to inquire of God's word, to get down on our knees and seek God's face. Lord have mercy, he won't hide himself from your eye. But if we choose, like, I ain't got time, he won't just say, okay, here I am. He won't do it. He'll give you opportunities to come to him. But in other words, for those who really hunger and thirst after righteousness, he will fill you. Amen. The fourth verse says, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh? Because the law was, it could not help man. God sent his own son in the same type body, fashioned as ours, and he condemned sin in the flesh. So when Christ died on the cross, Satan's power was rendered basically powerless in the grand scheme of things. He can have power in our lives if we give it to him. Yeah. But Satan knows his end. He is defeated. And as we rise up in Christ, we ought to walk in newness of life and be led by the Spirit. You'll have to make a decision tomorrow as to whether or not you're going to sin on something. You'll have to make a decision tomorrow, possibly, as to whether or not you will think evilly or not. You'll have to make a decision on the next day if God gives you life as to whether or not you're going to covet somebody's time, covet somebody's car, covet something that does not belong to you. We need to covet the holy word of God and be abashed. Will we be guilty of what we see a lot of times in modern Christianity? I can live any kind of way.
Anyway.
It's not so. He doesn't give us carte blanche to live any kind of way. He wants us to be governed by the Spirit. I'm going to skip to the 14th verse. The 14th verse says this. For those who will be led are governed by the Spirit of God. Those are the individuals who are my children. If we make it a practice, I'm not saying just because you disobeyed God one time that you're kicked out of it. I'm not saying that. But when it becomes a practice, when it becomes a habit, when he has seared our conscience and that we don't even think about the consequences, nor I'm supposed to be his child, you're not his child. I will not be his child. But he loves us and he has provided the wonderful Holy Spirit to keep us in mind of his word. We have to partake of his word. Lord have mercy. I'm going to just go to Ephesians, and I understand that we've had a little bit of time here, but I'm going to go to Ephesians. I think it's the fourth chapter. Just thinking about the Spirit and just read a little bit. I'm coming from Ephesians, the fourth chapter and the 17th verse. Paul is the author of this epistle as well. Let's listen for a minute. 4th chapter, the 17th verse. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, I witness in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their minds. Now, part of this congregation, many of them were like, let's say, converts or whatever. He was letting them know, there's a distinction now. You have received grace with God that you can be a part of his family. I don't want you walking like the rest of the world. Don't live like the rest of the world. In other words, you'll be tempted to, but this is what you know. You've heard the Spirit. You've heard God's word. Don't walk like other Gentiles in the vanity of their mind, because you know what? I think it's John says, love not the world. And what that says is, like, we'll get so caught up in what the world can give us that there's a vanity there that we love the world more than God. Don't let it fool you like that. It's vanity. Ecclesiastes says, everything under the sun is vanity. Lord have mercy. Can't we see what the Holy Spirit is trying to tell us? listen to this, having the understanding darkened. In other words, having a right knowledge but not caring about it. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through ignorance that is in them. They chose not to partake of the word of God because they love the world more than the things of God. This should not be said of us. We might have struggles, but let's get down on our knees and ask God for strength. Yes. Lord have mercy. Through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned of Christ. It talks about a knowledge of truth. You and I have heard the knowledge of truth that Christ has come to save sinners. Now, when he has come to save sinners, we should have been born again, and we take up his cross. And we follow him. I don't know if you like this message. It's okay if you don't like it, but does it resonate?
Yes.
From the youngest one of us here who can make decisions that will be displeasing to God and that it affects the world. You know what the Bible says, that he wants our lights to shine? Mm-hmm. I believe that there's more to that than we just read. And I believe that there is a light that shines that you can't explain it. But the world says, I don't have it. I don't have that. And they know when you live in a life for Christ, if they don't know, they want to inquire about it. How? You believe that stuff about Jesus? Do you have an answer for him? Lord have mercy. Listen at this. 20th verse. Ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversations of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. The life that we used to live, it was not pleasing to God. He's calling us into cleanliness. He will supply us with the strength. When you try to do it without the Holy Spirit, when you try to do it without taking time in God's word, when you try to do it without praying, you're going to fail. But watch when you spend time in God's word. Mm-hmm. Watch when you pray. Watch when you really seek his face and you obey. See when he liberate you. It says, be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And then he goes on to talk about some things that should not be in the life of the child of God. So I'm going to kind of just like bring it down and end it right here. This is it. Are you led by the Spirit of God? Were you and I born again? Do we seek the sincere milk of God's word that we may grow in it, that we may obey it, that our life is really distinct and showing, I'm Lord, I'm not doing this. And we can't get confused and say, I don't do this anymore, so therefore. No, it's always gratitude about God, you gave me the opportunity to continue to be a part of your family. Amen. There is going to be condemnation. Jesus said this is a condemnation, that men love darkness rather than light. Jesus came into the world and said he lighteth every man's pathway. But guess what? Jesus also talks about two paths. So though he lighteth every man's pathway, some men are going to turn into darkness because their deeds are evil. And it's like, not right now, Lord. Not right now, Lord. But if we're his children, we are to walk in the path that he wants us to. We have to grow. Well, we've been born again. Are we being led by the Spirit? Being led by the Spirit doesn't mean that you are always doing it, but we don't look for an occasion to sin. The Bible says, don't make a provision for the flesh to sin. We died. And now we become servants unto righteousness.
Yeah.
Servants. Do your classmates, do your co-workers, does your family see your servanthood to Christ? Does your wife, does your husband, does your grandchildren, does your niece and nephew, do they see your servanthood to Christ? Does Christ see your servanthood to him? It's really about life and death. It's really about life and death, because the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. Will we be led by the Spirit or not? I hope that the message today will give us pause to think. I didn't intend for it to be one way really or the other, but I hope that God is edified in what we have just talked about. We are the family of God, and we should look and live like the family of God. Not just put on a jersey. You know, there's a lot of people who say that. Tim used to talk about people up in the stands, say, that's my team won, and they have on jerseys and everything, but they don't get any of the money. They sort of kind of have a semblance of what that looks like, but they're not down there in the game. They're not in the game. We got to get in the game instead of just being up in the bleachers with jerseys on. We got to be in the game, and it ain't always pretty. But when you read the writings of the gospel, when I say the gospel, I'm talking about the entire message. Christ is coming back, and Lord have mercy, the half has not been told. Jesus said it's like a well that springs up within you. Yeah. That's what that Holy Spirit is like. It springs up within you. It springs up within you. It'll bless you because you're connected to the fountain that never dies, the fountain of the living water, the Holy Spirit. I hope I said something that caused us to think. Okay. Maybe we should pray when we get home. Okay. Lord, help me. Because we are going through something. It could be financial, emotional, whatever. But the main thing is spiritual. We got to walk in newness of life. Thank you, Lord. God, we thank you for enabling us to come out one more time. We ask that you bless us, dear God, as representation of the body of Christ here in Seeking the Truth Ministries. Lord, there may be some here who feel weak, and in some cases, maybe even like, what's the point? I implore you, Heavenly Father, that you will touch them in their heart and spirit, dear God, and help us all to see the greatness of the situation, but the beauty of the situation. Lord, you say your burden is light. Help us to really understand what that means. We don't like pain. We don't like ostracism, but you said that many of us would face it. Please give us strength. Help us to be led by your Holy Spirit, and help us to look forward to your blessing and sweet appearing as you come back, dear God. I ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.